Scripture reading before the sermon will be from 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Good morning. We do have a number that are visiting with us. We're very thankful that you are here. I want to start off by thanking the congregation. 2021 was an interesting year. And I appreciate the opportunity to continue to work with the group here. I do not take that for granted. This has been my 18th year here, believe it or not. As I've said many times, for some of you that seems shorter, sometimes it seems longer for you. But it is truly an honor to be a part of this congregation, to be a part of this family. And I want to thank you for the opportunity that I've had to continue to work with the group here. I'm not going anywhere, by the way. But I do appreciate it. 2021. I ended last year by talking about how 2021 is going to look so much different than 2020. And I end 2021 talking about how next year will be so much different than 2021. It is amazing that whether or not we want something to be different or not, it doesn't matter. The consequences or the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations that come, they're going to come no matter what year it is. But what is up to you and me is whether or not we continue to grow during those times. We have the opportunity to shine bright no matter how, in essence, dark it is. In 2021, I was involved personally with 6 funerals, all from here. So there will never be a time in this congregation that will be the same as 2021 or 2020. But I also know as I stand up here that there are babies in this room that were not here a year ago. And there are people that obeyed the gospel this past year that were not children of God the years before. And so we can always look at the difficulties, the things that come up, and certainly we can focus on them. But the reality is, what this comes down to is us having enduring faith, no matter what comes, no matter what we go through. The world is going to look at the difficulties and they're going to focus on the difficulties. The sad reality is, I'm afraid that some of us are. Instead of looking to our Savior, going through the things that we may go through, and continuing to grow as God's children. So for you, when you look at 2021, how's your relationship with God? Has it continued to grow? Has it declined? See, the amazing things of the things that we go through in this life is that you have absolute control of whether or not your faith grows or declines. Nobody else has that control unless you give it to them. No other thing has that control unless you give it to them. So it's not enough for us to say 2020, 2021 have been very difficult years. Well, yeah. Yeah. For some of us, though, 1995 was a rough year. That's when I graduated. So it was a good year to me. So it doesn't matter what the year is. I control how I'm going to react to things. Does that mean that they're easy? No. No. But it does mean that I am striving to have enduring faith. Now, as we go through this, there may be some, obviously, that have been struggling, and I know there are. The point of this is not to make you feel worse or bad. This is about for you to understand and encourage you to take control of yourself, of your faith, to understand how much true power, in essence, that you do have. We want to control things that are outside rather than what we're actually able to control. which is my reaction to things. The verse that we just read, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, 11 through 13, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You think about that. It's a trustworthy statement. So the first thing we have to think of is that whether or not to believe that. Is it a trustworthy statement? Easy to say. Yeah, it says it. It's a trustworthy statement. When you think about trusting our God, what does that look like to you? What does it look like to me? Keep these verses in mind as we go throughout this sermon. I would like to turn over to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, to begin with. Living for God and what that looks like, no matter the climate. I love reading 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Revelation, all these different books that were written during times of persecution, or Paul's letters, when he writes them from prison, and they're so positive, they're so joyful. Why? Why? It's not because there were difficulties or not difficulties going on. It's because I believe, as these verses will talk about, they were looking towards the eternal. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 16. This is, let's start in verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, stop there for a second. What's the comparison that we make? The persecution, the difficulties, the struggles that we go through in this life compared to eternity. He says there's no comparison. How many of us compare it? How many of us take the time to just stop and think, no, I'm pretty sure there is a comparison to make? How can you call these momentary light afflictions? Because his focus was on heaven. How can I call them momentary light afflictions? Because our focus needs to be on heaven. He goes in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with the dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he has prepared for us, for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. And he continues on here, if you go forward, talking about this part, talking about this piece of looking towards eternity. We talk about heaven all the time. How many times in my life or your life do we actually focus on it? It's our goal. It's who we are. So anything that I go through in this life, I put it through that prism. Yes, 2021 has been a difficult year for a lot of us. A lot of us. If you are visiting here, I assure you, the last few months have been difficult for this congregation. But compared to being able to worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and understanding that I have the opportunity to be with you for eternity to worship my God, I'll go through whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. In 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the Apostle Paul keeps talking about the things that he had gone through. And I want you to notice these verses. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he comforted in you. As he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." Did Paul struggle? You better believe he struggled. You think about verse 5, talking of Paul. We were afflicted on every side. Our flesh had no rest. There were conflicts without, and there were fears within. Does that sound familiar? Maybe. The sum of it? Do I fear? Yeah. Are there conflicts? Some imaginary, some yes. But I want you to notice what brought him comfort. Sometimes in the Bible you read about the comfort that comes by an angel coming and comforting Jesus. Or you read about these amazing miracles that we see in the scriptures. What comforted Paul? Titus. I want you to look around, brethren. Those of us that are struggling, those of us that are depressed, God has surrounded you with a family to help you. Here's the struggle. You have to view it as Paul did. That God put you here. God has put us here for the opportunity to encourage one another, to help one another, to find joy in these things. Because as he says in verse 6, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus. And then what Titus told us. I appreciate Charlie's prayer. When he's talking about, yes, there's been difficulties that come up, but through all those things, we've seen the caring love of a congregation. We've seen it. But you only see it if you look for it. If you're going to look for negative things, you're going to find negative things. That's easy to do. Easy. You think Paul could have looked at a situation and thought, well, I'm being fears within. This is a horrible situation. I cannot find rest. I have no peace. Yes, Titus is here. He just talks a lot. And as funny as that may sound, that's exactly what people do. Oh, yeah, Tyler's here. Why? Instead of listening and acknowledging the fact that there are people in our lives that are here to help us, to encourage us. And we need to see those that are in our lives to help us and make the most of those opportunities. I know that there are people that are at home that should be home. There are some that should not be, but there are some that should be. But the reality is, when we are at the building or whether we're at home or whatever the case may be, we still have an opportunity and obligation to help one another, no matter if there's a pandemic. Because you know how I know that? Paul's being persecuted and Titus was sent to him. We have the opportunity to make the most of those situations that occur. Are we living for God, though? See, but this comes with endurance. 22 months ago, I did a sermon about endurance. I never thought I'd still be talking about endurance now. But that's what the word means. That's what it is. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the Hebrew writer tells us, you have need of endurance. And guess what? We have a need of endurance, whether it's because of a pandemic or not. And just because some of us may say, I'm tired of this, who's not? I've never understood that. I've never heard of somebody say, I love wearing masks. They're the best. They're great. I breathe better in them. Nobody. But if that allows me to come into worship with you, put on a mask. We have need of endurance. So often we focus on the things that don't matter. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 36, we'll start in verse 32. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizures of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Did you notice what they went through? You have need of endurance. Why? Because you've been made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, partly because your possessions were taken. What's our endurance? What's our issues? Are you comparing it to this? This is what we're comparing it to? The reality is everyone needs endurance as God's children. Everyone, no matter your situation. But we needed insurance too. But you need assurance even before the pandemic. You needed endurance even before the pandemic. That's where he goes on and talks about here. I am assured of this promise that he talks about in verse 36. But what do I need to do? I need to endure. And now you get into this chapter, and this is one of those times, obviously, we start chapter 11, the faith chapter. This is a continuation of the endurance. Let me give you examples of people that endured. Abraham endured. He even uses the term endurance, endure, when he talks about Moses in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Consider the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. There's the great example for us. Endurance in action. That's what faith is. You see the opportunity that is before us. You have an eternal perspective. You're not nearsighted, as we talked about in class on Wednesday. You have an eternal perspective. Understand that everything that you go through in this life are big things. I'm not trying to make them small. But in comparison to heaven, in comparison to the eternal reward, it is different. I don't stand before you as somebody who does not struggle with things. As I stand up here, it's dizzy. I'm dizzy from COVID. I understand the very small little piece that I deal with compared to what other people deal with. I understand it. But that is not going to keep me from worshiping my God. And it certainly is not going to keep me from wanting to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether here, whether we're texting, whatever the case may be, continuing to be together. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. And I'm willing to endure so that I can reign with him, as 2 Timothy says. We all need to do that. Does that mean it's easy? Absolutely not. 1 Peter will add, when he's talking of Jesus, I need you to patiently endure. I mean, if endurance is not enough, you throw patience into it. Patiently enduring, as our Savior did. When you think about all that Jesus went through, all the struggles for you and for me, he is the ultimate example for us. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning in verse 20, says, "For what credit is there if when you sin you harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and suffer, for you, if you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." So if you go through things that are not your fault, you go through things and you patiently endure it, that brings glory to God. That's what he wants. And then he gives the great example, just as Jesus did. So maybe you're enduring, and you have been enduring things. Now you add patiently enduring. What does this tell me? I still have the opportunity to grow. God has blessed me with opportunities to continue to grow. No matter the potential obstacles that are come up in our lives, and there are, continue to grow. Continue to lean on God. Continue to endure. Continue to have the faith. Continue to make sure that you are focusing on his faithful love. I want you to consider for just a minute, you go back to 2 Timothy. One of the things that we've talked about fairly often in this year is this passage. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. First of all, I think we all can agree that verses 2 through 4 sound familiar. It's humans. It's the world. The danger is when verse 5 sounds familiar to us as individuals, as God's children. I believe, but I'm going to deny his power. I believe in him. I believe he's going to take care of us. I can trust in all that he's going to do, but I deny his power. What a dangerous thing that is. What does he say here? Avoid them. I want you to consider something with me. When we talk about trust, I love that we live in a country where the money, various things say, in God we trust. The other day I was watching the Army-Navy game and they had a prayer before the game. I love that. I love living in a country that actually spends time thinking about the fact that Jesus came. It's wonderful. Here's the danger, though. When Christians focus so much on whether or not a piece of paper says in God we trust, my concern is whether or not it says in God we trust on my heart and your heart. It's wonderful if we want to have those other things. That's perfect, wonderful. But you know what happens if even if that's taken away, I still trust in him. The ironic thing is a lot of people trust in that piece of paper more than they do the words on it. In Psalm 56, David talks about this. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" As I've said many times, some of us have a list of what mere man can do to us. There's no question. But am I willing to put my trust in God even when I cannot see how this is going to end? Because I know when I go through these things in this life, I know it's going to end with me being with him for eternity. I know it will because he told me it will. Am I willing to go through the things that I go through? Am I willing to trust him when I go through various trials? Am I willing to entrust my soul to him? Am I willing to serve him? In 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, again, Peter writing to people that are absolutely being persecuted for their faith. He says in verse 19, "Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Entrust your soul. 2021 has been a difficult year. But I assure you, I could do this exact same sermon in these 3 years up here. Maybe not, hopefully not. I hope not. Because of a pandemic. I mean, we didn't even talk about cicadas. 2021. We understand that there were bad things that happen. But the amazing thing is, in the beginning of 2021 till now, I had total control of whether or not I've grown spiritually. Total control. We live in a time, and again, this isn't new, you can read this in the scriptures, where people try to find excuses as to why they didn't do something, and or blame other people for it, or this was going on, that. You have total control of this. Your decision. Am I going to continue to run with endurance or not? Good news. God has blessed us all with the opportunity now. Maybe you look back on 2021 and maybe didn't do as well as you should. He has blessed you with time now. First of all, 2021 is not over. This Sunday isn't over. You're blessed with the time that you have right now. And if he wills, we'll go into another year And you have the opportunity, I have the opportunity to grow. One of the things I strongly encourage you, because a lot of people are going to wait till January 1st to start this. That's when you're supposed to do the resolutions, and it ends in January 30th. Start today. Start now. We're talking about eternity. Eternity. You have the opportunity now to get your life right with Him. We can sing songs like Victory in Jesus, and that is going to be true for those that have Jesus in their hearts, that have a relationship with Him. If you don't, then this is a tough song to sing. You have the opportunity, I have the opportunity, to make sure that we are right with Him. We all have the opportunity right now to begin, if we haven't been doing what we need to do, to grow. You are surrounded by people that want to help you. Please let us help you. As always, make sure you're praying for one another, because it is difficult. If you have not obeyed the gospel, now's the time. If you need to become a part of His family, now's the time. If you have questions, please ask. If there's anything that we can do for you right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.